it's just a confirmation of our connection. So I see Minneapolis, Linda, thank you for being here, and Chelsea from Tucson, and I do not see more people, but maybe you are still trying to type or not, and that's okay. It's just an idea of having us spread from different places in, oh, Troy, New York. Okay, nice. Yes. Yeah. So Stefan, would you please put the first slide for us, and I will start and try to read a little more on those on the chat, but I will start with our presentation, and we will actually start from the end because it is acknowledging the end. Yeah. So the idea is that we are here to see what is that about, what is the end. There is a song that I really like, and while Stefan is working with that, I'm going to see if I can sing a little bit for you. Water of life, cleanse my soul. Fire of truth, burn away my fear. Wind of the Spirit, let my being soar. Mother Earth, heal me again. Water of life, cleanse my soul. Fire of truth, burn away my fear. Wind of the Spirit, let my being soar. Mother Earth, heal me again. Water of life, cleanse my soul. Fire of truth, burn away my fear. Wind of the Spirit, let my being soar. Mother Earth, heal me again. So this song is from Dance for Universal Peace, Lila Flood. And I really love it. It speaks to my heart in many ways, and it speaks to many different situations. And here's our first slide. That was a card that I received from a friend, of course. And it's a little blurry because it was the way I could take a picture and put up for you to see. That good friends are like stars. You don't always see them, but you know they are always there. So if you have a paper with you, and I hope you do, I would like you to just jot down a little bit, what is that we know? How is it that we know that they are there? What happens? What is in that we feel them, or we don't see them, but we know they are there. Just take a moment and just go ahead and write down a few ideas for that. Stefan, you can bring the next one, please. And with this one is a little bit what I was saying before, when people travel. So if you're friends, you cannot always see them, but you know they are them. Then it means that they are not close. And so perhaps there is a travel, there's a trip, they are in a different town. And usually when we go by train, by plane, by boat, by car, by feet, by bus, we do say, I miss you. And so, as we were talking before, how do you know that they are there when they are not there? Now they are really not there. And then you're going to say, I miss you. What is that you miss? So take some time to jot down those ideas. It's a little bit similar now. And then next. And so this is a beautiful way of explaining. I'm going to read. I am standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, there, she's gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast and hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and she is just as able to bear her load of living fright to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, there, she's gone, there are other eyes watching her coming and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, here she comes. And that is dying. So as I said before, that speaks a lot to me, the feeling that sometimes I try to visit my parents once a year. It's not always possible, but most of the times if I am in the airplane now with the technology and with the cell phone, and I'm already in the airplane about to take off, and I have lots of texts that says, oh, I'll miss you, and we're not going to be together for this time and this and that. And at the same time, I have a bunch of texts that says, where are we going? Where can we meet? Are you going to be here next week or what? And so it's so beautiful to imagine that connection with death in this way. Stefan, I think there's one with the caravan. If we could see that one, it would be great. I think it was before this. Before, I think it was two or three. Yeah, that one, yes. So this is a quote that I learned from Neil Douglas Klotz. He's a Sufi practitioner, and he has beautiful things related to the dance of universal peace as well. And so he says that idea of the caravan, the universe was imagined as a caravan, the past ahead and the future behind. So the ones who have gone, they are in front of us and we will come after them, which is also very much connected with this idea of the traveling and the trip. So now we will have to skip probably the one with the ship and then one more. Yes. Let's change one more, please. And the next. I think there is one. There was one with the two images images side by side before those. I think it's before. One before that. That one, thank you. Yes. Oh. So the images that I would like to show is that it goes back with what we were saying at the beginning. Stefan's going to find it. It's the other one with the two images. Let's see. Yes, that one. So in the beginning, we were talking about the friends that we know that they are there. And so what I was asking you to write down, what are the things that connect with us and makes us comfortable to know that they are there? And those are usually not the physical things. And then we talked about when we miss someone, when we are not with the person, when we travel. And so usually are the things that we can touch, that we can be together. And so when someone dies, then we have this representation here of the two aspects that separate. And so there is the body, the physical body on the bed, and then there is the soul and the spirit that is lifting and that is moving. And most of the times we talk about the part that is going, and we talk about the journey through the planets or any other beliefs that we have in that direction. Here in Anthroposophy, we do take that on. And I work with a lot of people that don't believe in any of this. And some people don't even believe that there's anything after, which is very sad. But everyone knows what love is. Everyone knows what is that people have in their hearts. But I, at this point, as we are working with the acknowledging the end, I wanted to point out and bring to our consciousness, what is the end? And so on this picture of the body resting on the bed, and we can see all the physical aspects that are connected with that ending. It's an interesting picture that has the elementals and other beings around, and we can connect with that as Sleeping Beauty if we want to think like that. Stefan, can you go to the next, please? Because that's the same picture, but it's a little bit bigger, and perhaps we can see a tiny bit better and connect with the details. With the same idea, that's one before, I think, because it has that, yes. The one with the mirror, I wanted to bring this idea. When we are interacting with a friend and we are connecting with a friend, and this thought that I miss the touch, I miss the hug, I miss to see your eyes, I miss to hear your voice. And that we can also mirror back and to see what is that in me that I can look at when I am working with my own self. And so if I am listening or hearing, how is that connection? And I also like to look at the elementals and the elements. And so in the sense of the four elements, and now, yes, we can move to the next one, Stefan, please. When we have the idea of the water and the earth and the fire and the air, how is that those elements from the physical body, they are going to decompose and they are going to go back to earth. And so that is the part that ends, right? But we can also relate to ourselves. So, Stefan, can you put the picture of the beach, please? I think it's the next one. The next slide has the picture of the beach that I really like to bring as the idea of the four elements being present. And when we think about those elements in our own body and the things that we need to work on for our own self-care, so we could have how much of water that we are drinking, how much of the air that we actually need to breathe. People say, I need fresh air, so I need to walk away. Some people say, I need to sleep, So that is also looking at what does that mean for our earth element and the fire, the spark of something new that is in someone. So I see Stefan might be having some difficulties with the slides, and you're probably seeing me now, which is fine. We can continue. It's all right. Right. So that one was the picture of the beach that I was thinking about, so that we can connect with the elements. And because it is a sunrise and because it is a beach in Brazil, it's the South Hemisphere. I love this idea that we are also connecting with the elements and the directions in space. So in this one, you could imagine that this is the east and the south. And the idea that I think of all of those connected, because it's the four elements and the four directions, it's because we can expand our consciousness about including or separating when we have to start finding out what is that end, so we can start looking at those. And the four temperaments are there as little children on the side, just for the idea that, I think we had to have a very interesting thing happening here. Now, hold on a minute. Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. There must be something wrong with the weather, the internet here. So it's a little cutting in and out. So I apologize for that.
That's fine. I'm just trying to take it and continue.
Elementals at work.
Yep, that's what I hear. That's exactly what I hear, that the elementals are all there, also in our technology. So here we go. Thank you. So those the pictures of the children around are the four temperaments on the idea also of seeing how they play on with us, you know, and how we play when we are in this situation of having to say goodbye, having to say, I miss you, and what do we do with ourselves. But we can stay on this slide now, which is about the 12 senses, and I already touched a little bit. I like to bring the clock, because the clock always shows the 12 in the circle, and it reminds me of the 12 senses, and of course, the 12 in the zodiac, the signs. But I like to have those little stones throughout my day. It's a reminder of, oh, think about the senses, think about the directions, think about the elements. So those are just little images that are there that reflect a little bit the way that I work. In this slide, I put some of the words in slightly different color, the touch, the vision, the hearing, and the I am. And the reason I put those there, it was interesting that we just had the Eurythmy, and she said for the three L's, she gave it some of those, which was so beautiful. I thought, oh, I had already, my slide was done. And so I was crying as she was doing it. I felt it completely in me. It was so beautiful. So the idea, you know, that we see each other and that we hear each other and that we have our whole thoughts, but that's also how we relate with the I am of each one. The next one, please, Stefan. So while he's trying to find his way, I want to ask that people, you could, everything that is being here spoken, if there's anything that is sparking some connection with you, some connection with your own reality, things that you do for yourself. It's not only about the presentation as the what the content of what I'm saying, but it's also a reflection for yourself. That was actually in the intention of bringing the mirror to one of those slides. And let's see, where are we? I thought we were before a little bit. Stefan, would you like me to try to do it perhaps from here? Do you think it might be easier? Because I see like the slides are just popping in and out, and I'm not sure that we're...
Yeah, it would be, if you have access to it, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so give me a second, people. I'm almost there.
Yeah, apologies to the group.
It's quite all right. We are all new on this and trying our best from all the different places that we are with the challenges that we have. Okay, if I can only find this here. Okay. Just 1 minute now. That's a good time for us to remember to mute our phones, please, our mics, or Stefan, perhaps you can help. Thank you. All right. So here we are. So the main idea that I would like to bring with this is that if we could look at those words and think about how we connect with our finitude and how we connect with this moment, you know, of what is that is ending. The part that we usually talk about is the part that is going, but the part that we are actually missing and how we can work with that. So that is where the idea of those words are there to bring us also with connection that people have already talked, and we know that it is not only a death and a real grief of a loved one that can bring all this similar connection with our finitude. And another way that I really like to engage when we do this work is to think about the senses and the elements on ourselves. So when you work with your own physical body, do you know your marks? Do you know your own skin? Have you touched your knee recently when you take a shower, and do you know the little curves and little marks that you have on your skin? If you were to see a picture of your ankle, would you recognize as yours? So those things come to me always, and I keep wondering how I'm preparing for my own death. And that's also the idea of the mirroring, and also the idea of acknowledging my own end. And so when I connect with my son, my husband, with the friends that I have, and I look at them, do I really know them? Can I really recognize a picture of an ankle of my own son? He's 18 years old. Would I? I don't know. So those things I like to think also with this idea of acknowledging what ends, what really goes. But of course, if we are bringing it back to the work with a loved one, we would be trying to think of those physical parts that are now in this journey that this soul is leaving behind. And so I also think that it's a beautiful work that we can hold on to those parts. So when people say, can I read a verse, or can I make a meditation? There are times for us to do the meditation and the verse. But sometimes if we were to hold the physical body of the person that is dead, that would be a way for them to release. So in my own pictures, in my imagination, I can think of the detail of the teeth, or perhaps the curve of the ear, or perhaps that little nail that I've never paid attention. And when I started thinking about this, I started thinking about the ones that I still share with. And so when I am together with them, I keep looking very in the details to see if I can get very close to those parts as well. That is part of an idea. But if we go to really think about the sadness, and if we go to go into really think about how hard it is to talk about the parts that we are missing, it doesn't come with happiness necessarily. It comes because we are really much torn. This is the work from Megan Devine, and she has a book called It's Okay That You're Not Okay. She has a website called Refuge in Grief, and those are in the resources that I already typed and you already have the access to. Megan Devine talks about the process of grief in a very raw way, and I really appreciate that because she brings it down to you're really missing something. You're really at a place that is very, very hard to be. And this picture is the swamp of sadness. As Patrick yesterday mentioned, the 80s, that's pretty much from the 80s too. That's a movie that was out. It's based on a book, and the name of the book and the movie is Never Ending Story. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, probably so, but the boy, he loses the horse because the horse actually gets completely imbued with the sadness, and he drowns in the swamp. And it's really, really sad. And I have a feeling that sometimes we don't allow ourselves to go into the space of grief. We don't allow ourselves to actually be in the sadness because we think that it's going to be a completely never ending. It's just down this swamp that will just swallow us. And that's precisely why I like the idea of bringing a container, bringing a way for us to work with this. So in that sense, we have to find a space. And the way that Megan Devine talks about this, she says, name your pain. She says, just hold it, acknowledge. It's not going to change, but it means when it's validated. It means when it's seen. And I love this sentence, is some things cannot be fixed, but they can be cared. And I am a kindergarten teacher, and I love the basket. We have baskets everywhere. And so I really appreciate this idea of caring things and caring. It's the word that I probably am not pronouncing very well, but you know the difference. One is to carry and the other is to care, but we are caring and caring. And this is the best pronunciation that I can make. So I'm sure you're getting the idea. When Megan Devine is bringing this work, she also talks very much about taking care of yourself. Eat, drink water, rest, take breaks, shower. She gives a few very pointed tips. This is also a handout that I put available for you. She has a PDF on her website and it is available for sharing. And what I really like about this is that it goes back into the elements. It goes back to the basics of taking care of your own body in the physical way. And that is the basic. So if you are afraid of going down the swamp of sadness, yes, you can take care of yourself, but you can also find someone that can be a helper or a friend that could listen to you. And usually, oh, let's do this pause. Hold on. That's a good idea. Let's do this pause. Yes. So yeah, let's take a break. I put myself a pause because I know I can sometimes just get going and I need to remember to pause and take care of myself, and you take care of yourself. I'll take a drink of water. And if you have water, please take some. Or if you need to stand up and stretch a little bit, as Laura said, take your 2 feet and take care of yourself. And so I bring this because people talk about positivity and people say, okay, but then we're going to go downhill and we're going to be, you know, all about not being well. And so we have to think about positivity. But life events are not necessarily either sad or happy. But some of those events seems to be in one category or the other, if you think in terms of the way the society looks at. And so it's just an idea of thinking about how do we relate to things? How do we connect with those events? Are we associating one or the other feelings for that? And are we just saying, yes, it's one way or the other? Or can we associate both feelings? Can we say it is both and? And so the way that I put this slide is because on the side of the seesaw, it's either or. It is the side of the brain. The brain works with making a decision and making a discernment. Do I run or do I stay? It's about survival. Do I make this choice or that choice? And that's the way the brain works, but not the heart. The heart is working with compassion. And instead of working with the seesaw, we can think of the lemon skate that can go back and forth in not so strong ways. And we can use that to make it whole. So I bring the image of the yin and the yang that brings this idea of the whole and how one is together with the other. One is the beginning of the other, which is in a way a lemon skate as well. And the color wheel from Goethe is also representing the space for all the emotions. I like very much to connect with the colors and as emotions, as different emotions that we can have. And so it's not only sadness and happiness. There's so many more. There's fear, there's anger, and there is a space for all of them. But here is the question. Can we actually ask the question? Can we not be Parsifal and forget or not realize that we are supposed to ask the question? How can we actually be there to ask the question, what ails you? And again, Megan Devine, she says that people try to fix, that people try to say that everything happens for a reason. And she really doesn't like that sentence. When we have an understanding about destiny and karma and about a spiritual reality, we might get there. But when we are down in the swamp of sadness and we only need to be with someone that understands our sadness, no one needs to say that something happens for a reason, because it brings a lot more guilt or any other emotions that you don't need at that point. At that point, you just need someone right there showing love, being with you, being by your side. And Brené Brown is also very interesting. She has also a saying about how love weeps. And I also put that reference on the references that I sent, the resources, so that you could have access to a video that she has about this. And she says that it's supposed to hurt. You cannot take away the pain. You can sit together. You can sit by someone and be there for them. And so I bring a few reflections now. Why do we want to fix it? Perhaps we don't want to feel the hurt. We don't want to feel hurt. Or do we want to take the suffering away? Can we be a witness? Can we pay attention as we were supposed to report? Maybe that helps. It's a little cold. I need to report. So maybe I can be there for the person. And the basket. Can you build a basket in your heart that you can hold the pain for the other? So how can we do that? What do we need to do to only be listening? And Patrick talked a little bit about this. And I think this quote came from a Christian community priest, I don't know. It was on my notes from when I started doing this, and when by the time I had to give a reference, I don't know where I heard this, but I thought it was beautiful. It's absolutely that. We need to die. We need to die so that we can be with the other. And so for me, it's fascinating how this work goes back and forth with the mirror. You know, if you're trying to be there for the other who lost someone, who had a death, now you are the one who has to die so you can be there for the other person. So here we go. We're going to have a little time for you to speak a little bit, and I will take a little break. And you will hear not my voice, but yourselves' voices. And the instruction I will give in the next slide. So Stefan is going to say a little bit about how we're going to do the breakout rooms, which you've probably been now in a few, but it would be nice to hear again. And then I will put the next slide so we can see how it will, what we're going to talk about.
All right, wonderful. So we've experienced some breakout rooms before. We're going to do this thing. Please accept the invite at the bottom of your screen, the little question mark. If you have any troubles, you can ask for help. Also, I'm going to put you in three-person groups, but if you do end up for any reason, for instance, if someone doesn't join the group or whatever, by yourself, I'll switch you to another group. So let's get ready.
Yeah. So here is the slide that I would like you to think about. And this is from another people that work with grief. It's the grief recovery method. And I like very much this definition because of the idea of conflicting feelings in the change of familiar pattern, the end or change of a familiar pattern. And I really like this picture of the corona because it is not threatening, in my opinion. It is just like a sun that is radiating all those rays out. And I feel it. That was the way I was making my meditation with the virus. I was feeling like, okay, go ahead and spread all the love and spread all the sun and all this redness. But this is not for this part. Today we're here for the acknowledging the end. So we will talk about what did not happen or what will not happen. Again, I told you I have an 18-year-old son. He's a senior in high school and he's very upset. He will not have prom and he will not have graduation. So that's what I'm dealing with in this house. And of course, a few others. I was not supposed to be giving this presentation in my house. I was supposed to be in the other space. But these are a few of my things just to give examples of those. And when we think about the word, I miss, the expression, I miss you, what does it mean now? So these are just some prompts for you. So you can have some something to start the conversation. And of course, you can share a few more things also. Okay, thank you, Stefan. Let's go.
All right.
Comments that you have now that you had in the breakout rooms and you would like to share to the whole group, or if you have any specific questions about the rough beginning that we could also address a little bit.
Hi, everyone. I just want to say something that I'm so happy that attending this conference, because in the last few years, I have to attend some funerals. And I was in that situation that I could not say anything. And I was feeling very awkward and embarrassed. But now I found from you that it's okay to not say anything, just to be there. So it's a huge relief. Especially if you are an introvert person, and so thank you.
This is great. So one part of that is very I'm very glad you said that. So that's basically the work of Megan Devine, and that part from Brené Brown that I said, it is in the resources. So I highly recommend you access those and see the little video. There's a little video from Megan Devine that I put on the resources. And there is also a little video from Brené Brown that is beautiful. It's all about sitting together. And I think it's basically the work of death midwife, but we don't think about that for grief. We think about that for the dead, for the ones that are in the passage. But if we think about the ones that are here and we can just sit by and just say, yeah, it's really bad. Sometimes that's the best you can do. And that sometimes it's huge because you are just acknowledging. You're not trying to make it better. You're not trying to do anything, but yet you're there and you're giving the support. So thank you. Yes. Anyone else?
I would like to thank you, Jolie, for talking about the mirroring, because I think in as much as the challenge is to sit with others in silence, I think it's actually even as important and even harder to sit with ourselves in the silence and allow ourselves on the inside to feel, not to try to fix it and make it go away. So thank you for that, because that's very hard to do. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you. It is. It is very hard. And that's why I like to bring that image of the swamp of sadness, because it feels like we're going to go down and be drowned and no way to contain. And because of my work in early childhood, that's why I always think of, okay, let's create a basket. Let's create the rocking chair. Let's create the lap for the baby, whatever image that you want. Those are the images that I carry because of my work. So it is exactly that. You know, you sit, the child starts crying and you just sit. You don't say, don't cry. Yeah, go ahead and cry. It hurts. It's really bad. So yes. Thank you. Yes. Go ahead. Can you, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. What came up and I'm finding really interesting to begin to think about more is, what is a presence? Like when we're living in the way we live now, we all have bodies and we associate ourselves with those bodies. And when we miss someone, what came to me with that question is their presence. And I then usually associate their presence with their body. And so how to cultivate within myself and in the feeling of another, a presence that is not tied to their physical body or in myself, and how to almost like have a switch of thinking. I feel it's connected to the boat quote that you brought, like on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's the same part, but another part of us. So we continue to feel their presence, even if their body is not there, and how to practice that.
That's beautiful. Yes. Thank you. The one way, and that's also something that comes to me every time I do the work about death, it is about life. And for me, it's just fascinating. The more that I offer conversations, and this is what I like to do. I like to offer spaces for people to talk. You know, it's not about right or wrong. It's just, let's talk, because it's so not, people don't talk. And so you don't know what to do with all those things. But the idea of working with this, what is that you miss? What is the presence? And so then how can you make the presence that you have fully present? Because now you do have the alive, the people that are alive, the loved ones that, yes, everyone will die. We will die. What if I die right now? What if I say goodbye when I go? And you know, we don't know. And so for me, thinking about those also bring back the idea of being fully present when I am with someone. And then I will be there and enjoy that moment. And I don't like to say goodbye in bad terms anymore. I make a huge effort, because what if that's my last word? You know, now we don't go to school or to work anymore, but we have to stay home. But you know, I like to say that if my last word to my son is he goes out to school, or I go out and say, and that's my last word. Oh my goodness, you know, then something happens and then he dies. So how can we make the best out of the presence? So when you're talking about, you know, how can I keep the presence when I don't have the physical body? What I'm trying to say is make the presence when you do have it. It's again, it's the mirroring. It's the turning it back, because then you will feel what it still stays when the presence of the physical body is not there, you know. And that's what you have with friends. That's why that first quote about the friends is beautiful. You know, you don't always see them, but you know they are there. And what is that we feel? What is it that we know there? What is the presence in one way, and what's the presence in the other way? So thank you for bringing that. Anyone would like to add something else? Something that maybe was a question? Yeah, Beatrice?
Yes.
There you go. Yes.
I did not share that in our group, but I'd like to share it now in regard to this question. How is it that we know they are there? And I'm more thinking now of those who are departed, that turning my mind to one of them is more and more this experience as my breathing changes. And that it changes in different qualities. And that is kind of, I mean, there are other things as well, but that's in particular the one that is not as of late, but last few years or so, that is on my mind with that there is this change of breath in different qualities. Thanks for listening.
Oh, can you say a little more? How is that you feel it? Speak a little more for us, please. It's beautiful.
Well, where is the breathing? You know, the breathing is here in this chest realm, in this middle realm. And it's really by just turning my mind to one of them, and one breath, one breath, one breath, I mean, it's just really with a movement feeling. It's really movement that my chest with the breath, and maybe that reminds me of the elemental beings you spoke of. And of course, with every breath, elemental beings stream in and stream out again. And I'm connected with that world. And yes, so that's moving. I really have an experience of movement in different qualities. Yeah, and that's kind of a gift.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Teodor. You're muted. There you go.
Thank you, Beatrice, for bringing this. And I didn't share this in the group. A few years ago, I was very ill. I didn't know I was going to survive. And it was a Sunday, and I went to church for a service. I'm not getting the detail, but at one point in the confession that I am in, it's an invocation of the people that pass, you know? And I was very, very weak and almost, I mean, not fainting, but hardly to stand. And there were a few moments, more than a moment, that I feel that all people that touch my life, people that pass away, were with me. And that experience was so, so intense that I cannot describe, but was so real, it's more real that I'm seeing you now in front of me. But it was pure joy. Believe me, it was so real. I cannot express, my English is too poor to express it. So that presence of the people on the other side, and probably all of you lost somebody that's very dear to you, very, you love a lot. It's amazing. Was amazing. And I'm so grateful that I was so sick to have that experience. I'm very grateful for this.
Thank you. Yes, yes. So if there is anybody else with a burning comment or question, and if not, I'm going to go back to a few more slides. I have a few more things, and then we can hopefully have a few more minutes at the end. Anyone with a burning question, just raise your hand. No? Okay. All right. So here I go. One minute, I'm sorry. I thought I had this ready. And yes, here we go. So this image was from when Notre Dame was in fire, and someone took this picture that was left. And that is the Pietà that I usually have already, in the one from Michelangelo, that's the one I usually use. But this for me speaks so much, and especially with that sentence, which is also from Megan Divine. It is a radical act to let things hurt without trying to talk someone out of it. And it is sometimes very hard for us not to fix. And sometimes it is just as much as we can do is to be there, and holding is okay, but also knowing that sometimes it's really, really hard. And just acknowledging that with this image in the middle of the fire, with her just offering that lap that I was talking about, you know, she is carrying her own son dead. This image of Pietà always brings me this huge suffering, and how can she be there with that peaceful face, which is not happy, she's sad, but it's peaceful. It's just holding. She's just there in the middle of, in this case, the ashes. And so this was in a Christian community article from Carol Kelly about the three kings. And I think it's beautiful also, this quote. We're giving mistakes, we're giving nightmares, and our task is to turn them into poetry. And were I truly a poet, I would feel that every moment of my life is poetic. Every moment of my life is a kind of clay I have to mold. So the way I see this is a step from the physical body, from taking care of our basics, the water, the sleep, the shower, the eating, the being there for the person that is really sad, that cannot even get up when you get up with that feeling of, did I have a nightmare? No, this is really true. This is your reality. And how do you move away from it? You cannot bring art in the beginning, but there is a moment that this is possible. There is a moment that, yes, you can start thinking about turning and moving away a little bit and stepping into the arts. And so here is just for us to remember the different aspects of art and how art speaks to the soul. We have seen nowadays how many people are just playing instruments with the coronavirus. It's so amazing to see how many singing and playing instruments and people trying to do online or on the balcony, and or even the military that are on some streets in some countries, and they are the ones playing instruments. I bet you have seen some of those. It's just beautiful. In the center, it's more the expression, the arts that are expressive in the drawings or paintings or all of that. And then, of course, the dancing, the moving your body, your rhythmy, but also any kind of movement that will make you express fear, anger, all the feelings that might be coming out. And of course, it's also the idea of turning them into poetry or turning them into stories, turning them into something written. It is also arts. This is an article from New York Times, which was interesting. This is February 2nd, so we were not completely there yet with the corona, but it felt so interesting to have this called Dark Period. I'll read. In this line or the next one, there will be a period, an end to all the words. Within the stark frame of the window, tired silhouettes and the dark dress of a little girl growing distant, growing distant, growing distant. In the stark frame of the window, a dark period grows distant, a period that is the end to all the words. So I was struck by that, just to find that when I was not really looking for it. And the picture up there with the three ladies, that's from a fairy tale, the spinners. And we know about the Moir and the Fate, and some of them at the end, they cut the thread and there is an end. So we can write about the end. We can write the story, and we can have that also be an expression of our feelings. It's very beautiful. This is from, again, from the Middle Eastern tradition, the same guy. His name is Neil Douglas Plotz. And the Sufi Book of Life talks about the 99 names of Allah, or God. And this name is the name for, it's Ad-Dar, the distressor, the harmer, the afflictor, which comes with this idea of pain and loss. But it's interesting because that's the word that what they say is without the last R, it would be the same word for door, for gateway. And how about using this sentence in the middle is his. Is there a way you can use the pain that you are experiencing as a door that allows you to step into a different kind of life? So I thought that was also an interesting thing for what's happening right now. We are being asked to do things in a different way. Having this conference online is very interesting. We still try to do the same. You know, in the beginning, I was still trying to, no, I'm going to keep talking and it doesn't matter, the slide is messing up, but I'm going to keep doing. We have this tendency, we have this thing that, no, we're going to keep doing it. Well, just throw it up. It's okay, it's different. Just let's find another way for doing it, you know. So how can we actually transform? How can we actually be open? And I like this idea of, yeah, just open the door. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we can take a little moment. I will read. This is a little meditation that he recommends. Not really a meditation. It's more like a practice. I will read for you. So if you'd like to close your eyes and close your cameras for just a bit, you can take a moment for that. And I can read this so you can have the auditory more present than the visual in this time. So take a deep breath and take some time to let the air out. When we take a deep breath, usually we take the air in, and I invite you to exhale and make a little noise. Let the air out. Center in your heart. feel your breathing calm. And think of the word yadar. You can even say it softly. Yadar. Think with compassion. Embrace all your pain. Feel your pain as part of the loss and the need that inform a universe filled with forms that die and are reborn with other faces. Yadar. And place this pain in the hands of Allah, God, or the Divine Feminine, or whoever is your higher being. Take one more deep breath and exhale with a sound. Ah. When you're ready, you can come back. So on my screen, I have a few images of the Divine Feminine, which is also a gesture of holding. And pietà is very much the holding for the suffering, but there's holding of different kinds. The Black Madonna is just a hover. It's from my Polish heritage that is very present in my life. Mary Magdalene is on the other side with the skull and the candle. And in the center are those images of beauty and beautiful feminine connected with the strength of the universe. The idea of holding all that begins and all that ends and all that is all. The everything, the whole. When we make space for the pain, we actually contain it in the idea of the whole. There's space for everything so that we can move and transform. And the picture that you see behind me is the picture that I put on the slide for the door. For the word for Allah. And that's a picture that I worked on with Laura Summers, and she gave a workshop and she brought this poem to go with that door. Then again, one of those things when I was just putting those lights together and I was working with the Allah idea with the Middle Eastern and that. And all of a sudden, I remember, I have a door. I painted it. Where's my drawing? And so I found my drawing and the poem. It is actually a song, but it's very beautiful. So I'll give you some time to read. I'm not reading it. So thank you. This was what I was planning to bring for today. And perhaps you still have a few more questions or a few more comments that we can use in this time. Yes, I'm not doing this right here. There we go. Now we're back.
Thank you.
I hope. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody, if there's any more ideas or more comments or questions or anything that you would like to bring.
One thing that strikes me about this is
your voice is going a little off. Hold on a minute, because your voice
was in a bad accident, car accident. I almost died. Maybe it's been 2.5-3 months now, and no.
Yes, go ahead. Tell us, because I think I don't know if it was
me,
but yes, now I can. Go ahead. Oh, now you got frozen again. Oh, Stefan. Ah. I want to hear you. All right. We can give a minute. Maybe he'll be back. Yeah. He's having some hard time with.
Okay, good.
I don't know about everybody. Can you hear him? No, okay. So, Stefan, not, yeah, it's distorted. I'm sorry, your voice is distorted.
No, it's okay.
We cannot hear. Yes, I'm so sorry. I so wish we could hear. It's, yeah. It's okay. It's all right. Yes, perhaps that's what I was thinking. Perhaps you can write on the chat so you can tell us your story, because we all got curious about your story. We want to hear it. It might be too big, but while you type, perhaps someone else would like to say something else, or if there are still questions, we still have a few more minutes. Yeah. So if no one has anything, I'm waiting for him to type, but I will like to say that when I planned this, it was October, November when I thought about the title of this. And what I really thought was bringing this idea that we discussed, considering the differences in the mirroring, looking at ourselves. And now with the corona, just thinking about that as well, how is that our connection is completely different and our relationship is not in the physical level and it's not there as if it is a death. So how are we relating to each other as if we were dead? And is it possible? It's not like this, I'm sure. But that was just a thought to try to, how can we connect with each other? And so now we have here his story. So Stefan says, just that I almost died in a wreck 3 months ago, and it was such a vital, wakeful experience to recover from that. I wish I could stay connected to that experience, as it often seems to fade. I wish I could stay connected. How do we carry these experiences to the future? Oh, that's a great question. Yes, yes. So the piece that you got connected was that the end of it, the possibility of being end, the possibility of finishing. Is that what you're talking about? Okay. And I think that that is the piece I was talking about of living our life present. So the way that we can use that experience to inform ourselves is to be fully here in everything you do. We're not back in the past, not about, oh, everyone used to do this, I'm supposed to do this, or for whatever reason that you're still stuck with things that, oh, my family did this, however it is, you stay in the present. And then you're not anxious about the future. Right now, there's so much up in the air. Yes, but right now I'm here and I'm giving a presentation and maybe I need to drink water. And bringing back to your body, it's always very, very grounding. And so we are in this world. We are on earth. And yes, we are spiritual beings, but we are also in this body. And so, yes, wonderful. And so the idea to stay in our physical body to inform being in the present and being careful about what is that you can do right now, not about the past and not about the future. I don't know if that helps, if that is an answer. That was not exactly what you were asking. Linda.
I don't know what you really asked, but I'm wondering if when we have that near-death experience, that there's a certain level where the veil is thinner and we have a kind of sense of something that doesn't end. And then we come back into this reality. And this happened to me when my daughter died and I was had this experience of being in a kind of different state and everything seemed clearer in a way. And then I came back and my old patterns came back and my personality came back. And somebody said, oh, now it's Linda. And it was as though something was larger. And then I had to know that they both exist, but that those moments are illuminating of something that is in us, but we also have to, I had to know that all my human frailties kind of were less visible for a little while. And then I was back in all of my humility and patterns. And so I don't know if we can go back there, but once we know that place, I think there's less fear. And I think that's what we can bring forward into our lives. I think that's what happened for me, is that knowing some of that space helps me to hold that space for other people when they are in fear. So that's my thought.
Thank you, Linda. And that reminds me of also of what Patrick said yesterday, which is that idea that the spirit imbues so much into the physical that even that part is what makes me be me in this lifetime. And so even like you're saying, you know, you regroup, right? So you got back your habits, you got back, and then someone says, oh, here's Linda. That's what it is, right? And I think a lot about this precisely when we are talking about what goes and what stays. And also for the people that don't believe that there is a continuation, that it's so sad. But for those people and for us, it is the same in the sense that in this way, it will never be the same. Because whatever is the I am that will go, it's not Jolie. It's not this hair. It's not this body. It's not this heredity. It's not the way I do things. It's not the way I react or not. And so there is this part that will be gone. And when I got to that realization from my thinking, because this is all studying and thinking, you know, I did not have any very strong experience like that. But from this, I realized, wait a minute, there's something that will be gone. And that fragility brought me to this living in the present that I was talking about. So I want to be full right now. I want to be complete, and I don't want to be confused with other things or that. I want to be living everything that I can, and I'm going to put my 2 feet in the canoe and not one in each, you know. So if I'm doing something, I'm going to be in there complete. I don't know. It's something similar. Well, yes, thank you very much, everybody. This was beautiful. We are at time. We'll see you around at the rest of the conference, and I wish we could sit for dinner.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jolie, and everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to everyone and your presence.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jolie.
Thank you, Linda, for being with us.
And Jolie, you are definitely helping us.
Yes.
Sacred space.
Yes. Good. Take good care. And Stefan, take good care.
Yes, Stefan. Thank you so much for your help as well.
And I got to have a nap too, just a little one.
Good.
Which helped me on my 2 feet.
With a cat.
Yeah, and a cat.
With a cat. Now I'm back.
Great. Great. That's lovely. Okay. Bye.